Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3,
get up.
What's wrong,
Mazzio?
You can't play that like you told us.
It
doesn't work musically.
Doesn't sound good.
Get up.
Does it feel good?
Yeah,
never. If it sound good and it feel good, then it's musical.
Get up. You're entering a game here where the rules are already set out.
I'm just a street kid from Augusta, Georgia. Now, tell me what you see.
Get up. Get up.
President, I want to go to Vietnam.
Dig it.
We got to bring a super heavy bump to the cats over here.
Are they shooting at us? They trying to kill James Brown today. You want to go down and hit you as a man and kill the funk? Get up.
Get on up.
Hello, and welcome to another Fan Critical Podcast.
Woo!
I'm your host, Lucy. Hello. And today I'm joined by part of the UK contingent of our podcast crew. We are locked down, not out. Emma is here. Say hello, Emma.
Yay. Hello. Yes, I'm here, locked down in my lovely tiny house.
How are you doing?
Looking at you on a video. Well, I've not gone mental this lockdown, as much so as the first one.
Yeah. We know what's in store, I think.
It's nice to see a face.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it is as it is now. I look like I've been dug out of the ground, but, you know.
I don't look much better, but I think it's lovely to see your lovely face anyway.
Yes, it is. It's nice to have some company on these lonely days. So today we are discussing the 2014 James Brown biopic, Get On Up, starring the late, great Chadwick Boseman, RIP.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, this is a Patreon commission podcast, and it's our Patreon Beth who's asked us to cover this. And it's always interesting, yeah, I think, when we get these commissioned podcasts, because oftentimes it's films that we may not have already seen or may have never watched ourselves. So it is sort of opens us up to, yeah, unexpected films. So thank you, Beth, for that.
And actually, I didn't even know that this was a thing. Didn't even know this was a film.
When Chadwick Boseman passed away, there was obviously a lot of coverage on the roles he'd done. And it did say that he'd played James Brown. But I wasn't aware of it prior to that. So before we get into the plot of the film, I would like to hear your thoughts, Emma, and your Blueberry score. Now, if you've got any new listeners, welcome. You're in for a treat. But the Blueberry score is how we rate the things that we review. So 0 to 5, 0 being the worst, 5 being the best. And you can't have any halves. So it's quite a harsh yet fair scale. So Emma, what did you think of Get On Up? And what is your Blueberry score?
Good question. So I was really excited to watch this, actually, because I like James Brown.
Yeah.
I like Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And the rest of the cast is awesome. Well, what could go wrong? That is a question. when it started, I was baffled, but I was enjoying myself. What I found by the end was that I'd really enjoyed his performance.
Yes.
As James Brown, I'd really enjoyed some of the other cast, so like Viola Davis and
it's a strong
Lenny
supporting
James.
Cast. Yeah, imagine them as your parents.
Really,
Jesus, you've made it.
I mean, not like that.
No, but I mean, just having them as the actors playing your parents. It's like, wow.
Pretty cool. Like, Lenny James is my hero. I love
him.
He's
fantastic.
But I think individual performances and certain parts of the film were incredible and they were really well done. And I think it really opened up for me some, like, I didn't know much about James Brown's life. Really? I know a lot about his music, not a lot about his life. And I found that really interesting.
But did you think you learned a lot about his life watching this? Because I don't think I did.
I feel like I learned a lot about his personality. Now,
yes, that's true.
What I did find was that I kept getting the feeling like they were trying to emulate the style of Ray with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
You know, with the flashbacks to his childhood. And I love that film. Fantastic. I just felt like the plot itself was... not quite, it wasn't there. And it was a bit too convoluted. So I think I ended up spending 2.5 hours just enjoying the music.
Yes, I mean, the soundtrack is obviously going to be superb because it's James Brown. It's like, how many hits can one man have? And it annoyed me actually, because I had a little factoid that I was going to share with you, because I knew that he was the most sampled artist of all time. So I was like, I'm going to use that in the podcast. And they fucking said it at the end of the film. And I was like, that's my one fact. Gone. So yeah, I mean, he's obviously very influential in the world of like hip hop and everything. Yeah, so you know the soundtrack's going to be good. So yeah, like you say, when I found out we were covering it, I was like, well, you know, it's going to be good music. So
and it looked great, like the styling, the costuming, all of that was fantastic, and I really did enjoy that. You know, especially like the no shirt, wearing a leather waistcoat shit. Like
it's a big look. Big look.
It's the 70s. Why not? But I ummed and ahed massively about what my Blueberry score would be because I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it, but I feel very much like for something like this, and especially with the comparison to the structure and the setup of Ray, it didn't deliver enough for me.
No.
And unfortunately, I'm sad to say this, that means that it gets a 3 Blueberry, which is not a terrible score.
It's not, no.
But it ain't great. It's middle of the road.
It's good. It's like,
yeah,
okay. I think it's not okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad film, but it isn't a good film.
No.
But I mean, like, that opening set of scenes where he comes in and he's like shooting a shotgun into the ceiling because someone's taking a dump in his toilet. I was like, I love it. It's great. He's mental. Great.
It sort of threw you off as soon as it started. You think, what is this that I'm watching? Like, it's gone kind of to, not the end of his life, but getting there towards the end and him on a mad one with a shotgun because of a toilet. Like, it was a strange way to start a film, but it obviously had an impact because it's something that you would talk about. I'm going to kind of echo some of your thoughts, but I thought it was a fairly disappointing film. Now, you've mentioned Ray, and I do think there is a trap that these biopics of musicians fall into where they're quite generic and they follow like a well-worn trajectory, like showing the childhood trauma, the path to success, the dizzying highs, the terrifying lows, and then it gets to a point where they've made
the
it
drugs,
and
the abuse, the drama.
Yeah, and I understand that that's probably what the lives of many of these musical geniuses is like, but I just found it a bit boring, and they tried to change that by cutting it up the timelines. I found that very confusing. It didn't work for me. At one moment we were in Vietnam and I was like, oh cool, like this, that was quite a good scene on the plane, and I think they're going to crash, and then it goes back to like the beginning, and then that didn't work for me. I think that these biopics, they're just a bit predictable for me now. I don't know if you've seen a film called Walk Hard. Have you seen that film? It's a parody.
No, but that sounds good. I thought you were going to say Walk the Line. I was like,
But again, I think Walk the Line's another one where it just goes down quite a generic, predictable road with the biopic. And someone like Johnny Cash, you know, you've reduced his whole life down to someone with daddy issues. I love Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
But then there are films, like recent examples of films where I think that it's been done really well. It's like Rocket Man. They did that, the Elton John biopic. It was, you know, they used such good use of his music and in such an imaginative way that it was really different. I just
want to also think about Bohemian Rhapsody. Like,
I hated that film. I think that film is shit.
I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it because of the music and because I thought that the characterization was really good. And I think what you can fall into the trap of, I think what you're saying about biopics like this is it just becomes disjointed because you're trying to show the background and how it relates to, you know, the future of that person. And actually, you kind of need to focus on one or the other, or don't include it if it doesn't have any relevance. Because, yes, okay, clearly James Brown had a terrible, you know, poor and abusive and difficult childhood, but there was no correlation between what we were seeing. And I think that's what made it really hard to follow.
And there wasn't really a sense. I mean, we did see him, you know, with the gospel, the preacher, and it kind of, that informed his performance, his style. You can obviously see that. Like you say, it was disjointed, and you think, right, so you're a star now, but how did that happen? A star in what way? Like, what are the figures? Like, where are you? It was just, I think there's a good film in there, but I didn't see it. Chadwick Boseman was so charismatic, like he was fantastic, and I actually think it might be one of the only other films I've seen him in that is not Black Panther or like Avengers related.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, like you say, the soundtrack obviously superlative, and the supporting cast was really strong. There were these people were popping up, and I was like, oh my god, it's Jill Scott, oh my god, it's Lenny James, it's Viola Davis, it's his
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd.
What is happening?
But I actually ummed and ahed as well. And I'm actually going to give it 2 blueberries. I'm going quite harsh because I just felt, and it was long. You know how I feel about the long films.
I tried not to bring that up because the boys moan about us moaning about it being more than 90 minutes.
Do they? Forget them. They haven't got anything else to do. Watch films. We've got, you know, shit.
Clearly
to get on
not.
With. 90 minutes tops. I don't mind if it's a good film. It's fine. And this, yeah, it had its moments, but I left it feeling like, so what was his life about? And I think what they probably did is they filmed it and then they were like, meh, this is not that interesting. Let's chop it up. And that makes it a bit more like, ooh, that's unusual. But for me, it didn't work. Yeah, 2 blueberries for me, I'm afraid. I was disappointed in it. And it fell into a trap that many biopics do, in that it was quite generic. Do you have anything to add on that?
No, I think, you know, we clearly have a similar opinion of it. You know, I'll echo what you said. Chadwick Boseman was amazing. You know, his performance is a hard character to
He really
to
captured
act
his and voice because, and everything.
And like, kind of the erraticness, you know, like almost frenetic energy constantly, but also that arrogance. And I think he did an amazing job of that. And for me, that's part of the reason why I enjoyed it so much is because of his performance.
He is fantastic.
But yeah, I think we should rewrite it, Lucy.
Yeah.
The right way.
Yeah. Like Memento, you can watch it the right way around, I think. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I've decided.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. That'd be exactly what we need, isn't it?
So obviously we've kind of gone in a bit in depth about how the plot jumps around. So to go over the plot, it's not going to be possible because it goes bam, bam, bam. So I'll just give it like an overview. And even that is, you know, lengthy. So we see him as a young James growing up in the woods, really. Like, it really seems like a sort of leftover from the Civil War sort of era almost. So he's got his abusive father, Lenny James, unhappy mother, played by Viola Davis. We see him growing up in the 50s, being inspired by gospel music, gospel preachers, gets in trouble with the law. He forms a band with Bobby Bird, who gets him out of prison. So he owes a lot to Bobby Bird, and I think he should have been a bit more grateful.
He definitely should. He should learn some manners.
Yeah, he should learn some manners. So they get signed to a record label, have quite a fun little meeting with Little Richard. That was good. I like that bit.
Do you know, that's one of my favourite scenes. I'm gonna dive in. It's one of my favourite scenes is that when they get up on stage and kind of take over in the break. That's awesome because that's the first time you really see him go, I know how to sell this. Like,
yeah,
and
the energy.
All of them really getting into it.
Yeah,
very cool.
I mean, that is my favourite scene, I think, of the film, because that's where you actually get the sense of the energy that surrounded the band, especially James, and I think that was done really well. So that's James Brown and his Famous Flames, that's the name of the band. They begin to have hit records. We see a painful reunion with his mother, which, again, I felt like they could have had, because the way they do it is, he's backstage, isn't he? And Bobby comes and says, your mum is here. And you think, oh God. And then they go and cut to something else. And then they come back later to that. And I think you've really lost the tension of that.
Do you know what? I don't even think we needed that. We didn't need her to come back, because what that is that's the stereotypical mum's poor. She's probably got a drug habit because, you know, that was what was, that was what I felt was being implied. We're going to give her some money and it's going to be really difficult to say, you know, get out of my life and go away. And then he's going to be a bit sad. It just felt like a trope.
Yeah,
there wasn't any emotion behind it. I would have rather have just left Viola Davis playing that character in the past because I thought she was fantastic there, and just leave it. We didn't need that.
It's just like a little, like you say, it's just like a little caveat, like, oh yeah, gotta get the mummy issues in. Right, there we go.
Yeah. And then, what about Daddy? Where's Daddy?
Daddy didn't come back asking for money, I guess. We have some unhappy marriages and domestic abuse, and this annoyed me because it's pretty much glossed over in the film. I guess we'll come on to that a bit later. And then we have the eventual disintegration of the band due to James's controlling behaviour. And the film ends where it starts, with James in 1988 on a mad one, like I said before. Like, he goes and holds up but he threatens some people in a conference room in a building that he owns because one of them uses the toilet. And that's a bit mad. And then he gets pursued by the cops and arrested. And then it actually ends in 93 with a performance by James and a reunion of sorts with Bobby. So that's, I mean, so much more happens. But that's kind of the trajectory of the plot. So which strand of the story, if any, did you enjoy the most? And what are your standout scenes? Now, we've mentioned, obviously, the performance of Caldonia.
Yep.
Doesn't say it like that. Which was great. What is there a particular timeline of his life that you enjoyed the most or you thought was done particularly well?
I found his relationship with Bobby Bird to be the most interesting thing there. And, you know, you just mentioned about the actual ending, you know, that kind of semi-reunion and, you know, him seeing him on stage and that kind of 90s part of it. And I think for me, the disintegration of their relationship was the most interesting part of this because Bobby did so, like you said, he did so much for James Brown.
James Brown
wouldn't have been James Brown without him.
No.
And I think I would have preferred to have seen more James and Bobby, less Mum's Come Back for Money and that kind of thing. Like, I think
they could have focused on that
more
relationship rather than, like you say, trying to cram lots of other bits of his life. He's basically lived, there was too much life to put in a film. So what they did, they didn't really cover anything satisfactorily. So had they gone, right, this is how they came to fame and this is his relationship with Bobby, and then when they made it, stop there, that might have been more effective use of the time. I don't know. But I agree with you that that was the most interesting because Bobby seemed very, like, willing to be... When the rest of the... When basically, so the record label man, Dan Aykroyd, says we wanna sell the band as... James Brown and his famous flames, and the rest of the band are like, nah, like, we're part of the band, you can't just make him the leader, and Bobby's the only one that sticks around. And, like, I think I totally agree with you, you really could have just stuck around that relationship because it was the most interesting relationship in the film.
Yeah, I really think so. And actually the guy that plays Bobby, Nelson Ellis, so yeah. I only really recognize him from True Blood.
He's in Fargo, I think. One of the seasons of Fargo. Yeah.
And I haven't really seen him in much other stuff, but I thought he was, I almost think he was on a par with or better than Chadwick.
It's a harder role because James Brown's very charismatic, very out there, very flashy, and it's actually harder to draw the attention when you're a more reserved character,
yeah, I mean,
I think.
I think the other thing that I found quite difficult, so clearly he did a lot of drugs.
Yep. Don't really see that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think they kind of glossed over the drugs thing. And I think if you're going to show him coming into a room going completely batshit because someone's taken a shit in his toilet with a shotgun, you need to explain that that's because he's taking too many fucking drugs.
Mm. Angel dust.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, we glossed over the domestic violence issues. That also is exacerbated by his heavy, heavy drug use. And I think that I almost feel that, like, the story would have been more interesting and better plotted if what we'd seen is maybe just a 5 minute this is his childhood, then the development of James Brown to fame with his relationship with Bobby Bird, and then his descent, you know, into crazy old man on drugs.
Yeah, because I think you're right, actually, in that you see his behavior become more erratic. You see him, well, it's off screen, but he punches his wife Dee Dee, played by Jill Scott. But it was almost done in a funny way. Like, they were almost making it comic. Did you think? The way she went, whoop, as she sort of, like, fell down the stairs, like, having been slapped at the top of it. I found
that
a bit...
It felt like it was being trivialised, and I didn't like that. It made me feel uncomfortable because it's not funny. You know, no. He is a violent man.
Yeah.
Numerous occasions. And that's not something that's been hidden.
No. Like, I think he was not allowed in the UK at some point because he had so many... He'd been arrested so many times for domestic abuse. His daughter said that it was years of sustained abuse of her mother. There was a rape accusation. Like, he's not a saint or an angel. If you're not going to even address it, you're going to show one thing, nothing happened. No one mentions it again. It's never like, maybe you should stop beating your wife, James. It's never. So just, if you're really going to just pay lip service to what he did, don't include it.
That's
just,
it. Just be it's like, lip service, isn't it?
We're not going to actually address any of it.
It's almost like box ticking for the sake of going, shit, we should acknowledge this at least. When actually I'd rather you ignored it. If you're going to treat it like that, I didn't
focus on something
that.
Else and don't just go, yeah, well, yeah, he did hit his wife one time. No, he was very abusive. Like you said, probably heavily influenced by the drugs he was taking. Doesn't go into that. And I think these people, like these stars, you could probably name any like global icon, global star, maybe not in recent years, but from previous years, they've all had fucking troubled lives. Like the reason they're geniuses, it doesn't just come to people that are well-adjusted and normal. Most of the time.
No, we're boring.
I think Stevie Wonder, I would say, there might be some bad things about him, but I think he seems pretty clean. But then he's blind. Like, that's the problem he had to deal
with. Exactly. He has a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's the other part of it that I really enjoyed was watching him as a young guy kind of get his confidence and his arrogance. Because part of James Brown's appeal is that arrogant, I am, you know...
King of soul.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's the godfather of soul. Like, he, you know, and he knows it. And that is part of his charm and his attraction is the fact that he is almost so up himself.
Yeah.
And I like seeing that development.
Yeah, you need that from a star. And I think he did. I mean, Chadwick captured it. Like, he was sexy, even, like, despite every, you know the facts about him. But just watching him, you're like, yeah. And another great scene, actually, is when he does Sex Machine in the, like, gold... leather.
So
yeah,
good.
The dance, everything. So good. Really nailed it. And that was electric. And yeah, I think it's going to be very hard to make a terrible film about James Brown if you're using his music, because there are going to be moments where you're like loving it because you love the song. And they made the good decision to use his voice and not... I'm sure Chadwick, I think he is a singer himself.
God.
But you're not going to try and mimic this incredibly distinctive voice. They just went, no, we'll use it. And I think that really worked.
What did you think of the scene? Is it in Detroit where he's performing and people keep getting up on stage and we've got the police with truncheons and dogs and the way that he handled that?
That's
what did
really,
you think about that?
That was really good. And that was after the assassination of Martin Luther King, wasn't it? And I think he's performing in Boston, actually, because of the cool accents of the guy.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's my favourite American accent.
It's Boston.
Boston. That's terrible. I'm sorry, any Boston listeners. I thought it was really good, and it just showed, like, and he said, you're making us look bad. It's like, no, don't, like, just stay down. And he's saying to security guards, no, leave them. Like, don't hurt them. Like, everyone's fucking probably in absolute bits at the murder of Martin Luther King, and they're trying to lose themselves in the music. And you, like, people coming on stage, you can understand it, but you've got to try and keep it together, or it's all going to kick off massively. And he handled it really well.
And it's all going to be because you're all black. That's why you behave this way.
Yeah, it's just going to make things so much worse.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And I really liked the way that he approached it. I thought it was really interesting and well done, you know? Like,
yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good
tactful.
Scene.
Tactful.
Yeah, it was tactful.
But also, you could feel the nervous... tension, couldn't you, like when you just kept seeing the flashes of the dogs pulling at their leashes and the guys holding their truncheons, like you could feel the fear.
Yeah. And it's that thing of like, do you cancel the show? And then there's outrage upon the outrage of the murder of Dr. Luther King, or do you let it go on and you know it could all go absolutely mad? And yeah, that was a good bit to include, because I think he was involved in the civil rights movement, James Brown. They didn't really show much of that. That was all a bit, you know, I'm black and I'm proud. He released that and they didn't really show much more of that. But they can't show everything. This is a man who lived a long and eventful life. I just think you've got to pick a lane and stick with it. And it's not going to be an exhaustive history of James Brown, but you'll do what you're doing well, whereas this kind of, and this happened, oh, and this, and civil rights, and domestic abuse, oh, drug use, mum's issues, like, it would just...
And actually, when you go through the list, it kind of, you realise that if you try and include all of it, that's exactly what happens, is that it just becomes a tick box exercise, yeah, rather than a really good film.
It's spread too thin for two hours, 20 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I mean, I think those are the standouts for me. You know, what we've just talked about, and you know, they are good scenes within a mediocre film.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Just the last thing I wanted to ask you, well, it's not actually the last, but there's a bonus thing to ask, but this is just about the film. What did you think of the narrative device of him breaking the fourth wall, James, and addressing the audience directly? Did it work?
Fucking hate it.
Okay.
I am not. So I was watching this with somebody else, and I turned around and I was like, not feeling this fourth wall thing. The only time I've ever enjoyed somebody breaking the fourth wall is Fleabag. Brilliant.
Yeah. Even that's a bit annoying.
And I'm pretty sure there was a version, a modernised version of The Taming of the Shrew, where they did a bit of like fourth wall breaking. But it just annoys me because it didn't make any sense in the film.
No, it really didn't.
And I was like, what the fuck
is this? Another gimmick to try and make the film into something it's not. Yeah, it didn't work for me. I thought it would, and it just added to the overall confused tone of like, so he's just talking to us now. Another thing that used that though is, it is bad now, obviously, Kevin Spacey's a not good man, but House of Cards, when he used to look to the camera, that was a good use of it. Overall, it is a bit gimmicky.
If it's a consistently used technique, and it's, because it wasn't consistent throughout the film, I think it can work. It fell flat for me massively, and I'd forgotten about it. Now I've remembered.
It wasn't even like he was telling the story, like sitting in his rocking chair, looking back. It was just, he would randomly go, "Welcome to America, Rolling Stones," or whatever. That was weird as well. Stupid Mick Jagger. So my last thing to ask you is, what is your favourite James Brown song?
This is easy. So I love James Brown. Like, some of my first, like, cassette tapes were James Brown tapes.
I wonder if we'll have the same one. I won't.
Probably. I'm pretty sure it was Free with Good Housekeeping.
And it no, I mean our favourite song. Like, our favourite song might be the same. James Brown song.
But my favourite ever James Brown song is Sunny.
Sunny. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I feel
like I didn't even know that was a James Brown song. Because he's got so
many. I don't know if it's originally James Brown. I think it is. And it's a duet. But I will listen to that at every opportunity. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's the DeFelice Trio and James Brown. Yes. Okay.
There you go.
Interesting.
Guesty voice.
So my favourite is The Boss. And it annoyed me because they didn't even use it in the film. And then they had the weird, another stupid moment of when he's like looking back when he's being chased by the police and you see him as a little boy and he addresses the camera and he says, "I paid the cost to be the boss." And I'm like, just play the song. I don't need to, this is really
bizarre. Just play the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is weird. That's a great tune though.
Yeah, man. Oh. Because I was watching
also,
it with Aaron and he was
nicely
like,
for you. Because, you know, who else is the boss?
Oh, of course. Springsteen. When's his biopic coming out? Because I will creatively direct
that.
I would watch it. Cast it. Bruce Springsteen. Is there anything else you wanted to add on the film?
No, mate. But next time you make a biopic, no fourth wall breaking, pick a storyline and acknowledge the drugs and abuse.
Yeah. Do a film about the drugs and abuse.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
I want some realism.
100%. But no, what I will say is thank you, Beth, because I never would have watched this and I really enjoyed the music and Chadwick Boseman's performance.
Yes.
And even if I only gave it 3 blueberries, it's lunchtime. I still had a good time,
as
I might have wanted.
I'm glad I watched it. I don't regret watching it because, yeah, it's James Brown in it and Chadwick Boseman. Well, thank you for joining me today, Emma. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks for hosting,
Elise. Oh, you're welcome. And remember, guys, if you do want to commission us to discuss a film of your choice, like Beth has, if you head to patreon.com/fancritical, you can check out the different tiers available for support. You can get bonus content. You can discuss your thoughts directly with us on Discord and even commission your own podcast like Beth. So if there is a Bruce Springsteen biopic that I'm not aware of that you want us to discuss, please
100% commission it.
Commission it. And if you have enjoyed the podcast today, please leave us a glowing review because they're our favourite to receive and they are completely free to do. And check out our podcast channel. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we have podcasts on classic films some of us have not actually seen, like Aliens and Pulp Fiction. We cover TV shows like Watchmen, Westworld. I mean, we're going way back as well, like Game of Thrones, Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's 2020. There's no TV shows there's anymore.
There's nothing
so,
new.
You know.
Yeah. There is only repeats of what we've already seen. We do Worst of Netflix, which is exactly what it sounds like. We do Stephen King. We do Marvel. I mean, what don't we do? Everything good, basically. So go and check it out if you're interested. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned for more quality content down the line. And all that's left to say is something by James Brown. I can't think of anything, any of his songs that would go.
Sex Machine.
Yeah, get on up. Remember to get on up. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up. Get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, I like a sex machine, get on up, wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm, stay on the scene, I like a sex machine, you got to have the feeling, shoot your bone, get it together, right on, right on, get up, get on up, get up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.